Hey everybody, this is Matt Hamm. Thanks so much for tuning in to Wake Up Our Faith. We kick off the first episode of 2021 with a powerful question. Is your faith finally awake? Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Wake Up Our Faith. This is the show where passion, purpose, and dreaming big challenge common sense. We like to think of it as a conversation to shed light on the upside of upside down living. What's happening, everybody? We are on the radio. Kevo, it's January 6, 2021.
Yeah, wow. It's a good new year, man.
It's a big day for you guys. I want to say personally, happy anniversary to you and your lovely wife, Holly, right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a long journey.
Yeah, but, man.
Yeah, 25 years. We've been together about 27, but we've been officially hitched this day 25 years ago, which it was an ice storm.
Okay.
So it was a really tough day. We had like 3 people show up to our wedding. It might have been more like 50, but
right,
instead of whatever we invited. But yeah, it was a kind of a quick deal. We were in and out and out into the world.
Boom.
But you know, one of the neatest things, I got a text this morning from my daughter.
Mm.
We did, Holly and I both, and my baby girl, Caroline, she's 23, I think. She said, happy 25th anniversary. You are a beautiful example of what living for God looks like, and I can only hope that one day I can follow in your footsteps with a strong marriage. I hope you find a way to celebrate this special day no matter what the circumstances. Love you both. That's my kid, man.
That's awesome. What a legacy.
Yeah, we got some wonderful adult children, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, I'm excited about today. We've titled the show, Is Your Faith Finally Awake? A testimony to the whole purpose and context of our show, Wake Up Our Faith. I think we're now going back and saying, hey, are we up yet?
Yeah.
And I think it's a good year. If we're not awake,
right,
we're going to shake you
yeah,
lovingly.
Yeah, that's right.
Get you moving.
Always has love in it. I think you people can feel that, real folks. But yeah, there's it's a time for everything. I think there's a time to stand up, and that's where we are right now. You can be a lamb or a lion. I think this is, we got to go do lion stuff right now.
That's a great, you know, we had a show, this has probably been 2 years ago now, Lion and Lamb, and talking about the dynamic of Jesus being both.
Yeah.
And how he has the character of both, and
right,
the lion without the lamb
is
problematic, and the lamb without the lion is. And I love that. This is a time where the lion leads.
Yeah. Doing lion stuff, or as my wife and I say around the house, lion-ish.
Lion-ish.
Yeah.
There we go.
S-H-star-T.
Yeah, there you go.
So is your faith finally awake? That's the title. You know, God woke me up in the middle of the night. I didn't even know I was sleeping. I would guess probably about 2010, something like that. Way deep into a moment that we went through, and said, wake up, faith. And I heard him say it. And that became a lot of different things. But he's been saying it for a long time. I think he's given us a lot of time here. I think he's put me in a position to lead that, but us in a position as well, and then lots and lots more. And we kind of snowball, right?
We are
the people, and by the way. So God has done some neat things, aligning a lot of his folks together behind something. One thing I do want to say is today is such an important day. I mean, obviously, it's my anniversary. It's very important. And I love you, Holly, very much. Thank you so much for being a wonderful bride all these years. Wasn't always fun for either of us, but we're still hitched. And most of the people counseled us early on are not. So anyway, we have our president rallying the folks today, and he is our president, and I say together we stand with him, and you know, if that offends some folks, sorry, Charlie, but this is about truth. It's not about anything but that. It's not about a person. It's about truth, and it's about freedom. And so we want to talk a little bit about that. We can't just overlook that. It is happening. And to me, in my view, as a 54-year-old man, it is an historic day. And we don't know exactly how it all works out, but it does work out. And our future is good. So we do want to talk a little bit about that, but we want to put it into a deeper context, in a longer-term context. The other thing I wanted to mention real quick, like, is that today is a big, big day. But we want to, this will go out on Saturday and Sunday over the air. So we want to talk about things that are, everything's happening so fast right now. We want to talk about things that are especially relevant this weekend, not just today. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, this is not a political show, but
yeah,
but we do want to acknowledge the moment.
Well, you have to look at the context in the world around you, be aware, be awake,
right?
Be alert, and don't sleepwalk through.
Right.
You know?
Well, another interesting thing is today is the Feast of the Epiphany, which is a day of revelation, a celebration of understanding the revelation that God became man in Jesus, and that falls on today too. So I've got an anniversary. That is a big deal because it when you wake up, scales fall from your eyes, you get revelation, and you know, these things converge.
Yeah.
So
do you think we are in a Damascus? I mean, we said this in the last show. I just want to confirm it and say it again.
Yes.
We're saying this to our listeners.
Right.
We're saying this to our viewers.
Yeah.
We are in a Damascus Road moment.
Yeah.
And my encouragement, just Kevin, you can stand with me on this. My encouragement to you all would be to pray that the Lord himself would encounter you today and lift any scales that may possibly exist from your eyes. Mm-hmm. And are you willing to step into the direction that he's leading you toward?
Yeah. And you know, I think people are in different places. We talked about evil leadership. I mean, these are children of darkness. I said it last week. I'll say it again. And the more information we get, the more we start seeing it. But there's a whole lot of people that are misguided. And that's not a slight. I'll give you an example. This is tough. My parents are with us all the way. I love them. They're wonderful people. They believe the way we do, politically, the whole thing. But it tears my heart up because I can't go visit them. I finally have a car that I can get in and drive to Jack's to see them. And there's a little bit of fear there. And I respect them deeply. So this isn't putting them down. It hurts. It hurts me because I want to see them, you know? And anyway, so I take this very personally. I take this stupid fake flu crap that's escalating and all these things that the world, these evil leaders are doing, and I take it very seriously and personally. But all that said, yes, it is a Damascus Road moment. So what I was trying to get to is that we have got to keep our arms wide open to these loved ones of God who are either living in fear. They don't understand. And again, this isn't about your rights. It's just about what's right. Mm. And so we want to be kind and gentle but we want to stand up to evil leadership. Mm. And so that's the difference. You know, anyway, so all that said, the scales have to come off our eyes. That requires a Damascus Road moment. You know, there's a lot of people that say they're faithful, but this is being revealed. And God says, will I find faith when he returns? So he's looking for it. He goes to and fro. God is about faith. Why? Because faith is about intimacy. It builds relationship. It's a pathway. So all that said, this is, in my view, this is not a moment to, depending on where you are, not a moment to be on your knees. It is a moment to stand up and go. Hmm. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm saying proclaim.
Yes,
stand declare. Up, and so, you know, we can talk through that, but let me give you one more example. I really want to say this. You know, last week you kind of were the audience advocate and asked a question about nationalism and that kind of stuff, and, you know, that's just a head fake. It's just something. Not you. You were asking, what about these people? You know, our answer to, at least my answer to them is, you know, what's your question? Because The way I look at it is, Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land. And America is the modern day promised land, but Moses sent 12 spies, and they all came back afraid except for two. Mm. And I'd much rather be Joshua and Caleb in the end and be alone or be with one or two people who look crazy or stupid. And remember, I'm the extravagant fool, right? So history looks back on these moments. God is all about geography, and this is our country, and this is our place, and it's his place. So that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
You can call us kind of whatever names you want. It doesn't matter.
Well, I think the easy thing for folks to do when they throw rocks is place labels on stuff. It's interesting to me how there are so many folks who are anti-label. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't want labels. They want to remove labels like mother or father or, you know, a man or a woman. They want to remove every label until it is against their agenda.
Right.
And then now you're labeled.
Right.
It is hypocrisy at its finest.
Yes.
And I'm so glad what you just said, Kevin, because people need to understand biblical context, not as a way to use the Bible to support their agenda humanistically, but to go, no, the spies is our call in this moment. We are Joshua and Caleb.
That's right.
And we step and step in and don't come back afraid.
That's right. We say we agree there's giants, but we see the fruit, the milk and honey, and we bring back them big old muscadines and we say, look, this is our place. Let's go conquer it. That's the spirit that I have and have had. And, you know, I sometimes talk to people who are they're feeling down and demoralized, and I'm like, get up. You know, what feels right to your spirit?
Let's go.
This is, I'm not saying don't repent and all that. I'm saying this doesn't feel like that to me. This feels like, get up. This is your place. You're valuable. You know who you are.
Hmm.
And every time I get off the phone or get in front of somebody and they go, oh my gosh, thank you. I needed that. Because it's the truth.
Yes.
What isn't the truth is, go apologize for something, you know, feel down, live in repentance all day long. Look, dude, your sins are thrown in the ocean. Get up and be who you are.
Yeah, shame and guilt and all that kind of stuff is not from the Father.
It's not from God. That's right. And so I'm saying it because I feel it. You know, I mentioned I woke up, it was a Saturday morning. I think it was the 6th of November, and I could see it. It was Haman. That's what God kept telling me. I didn't know who exactly, Esther and all these, but we've been talking about this, and I just kept saying, and I said it on the air several times in between, this is Haman. But where is Haman? Where is he? He's out there somewhere, and, you know, his identity has been revealed, I believe. And it is such a big thing. It's a big scale, and we've got to get over that. We've got to take this place back. We can't be lulled into, oh, it's just a freaking election or something. It's not.
Yeah.
It's a battle between good and evil. And guess what? Good and evil isn't the Biltmore versus Motel 6. Good and evil is good is from God, and there is nothing else except utter darkness and loss and shame and condemnation. They're not equals.
Yeah.
There's light and not light.
Well, light drives out darkness, period.
Every time.
Any light in darkness drives the darkness away.
Right.
And so that's our call. And that's where I think the massive challenge, there's a couple things. I'm trying to get out of my stuff. I'm like,
go ahead.
A couple things. Number one is right now, I think the challenge for most Christians is they're focusing on the wrong thing. I think it's easy for them to be distracted. And they're focusing on the wrong stuff. They're focusing on the darkness. We've talked about this.
Right.
You know, you said a lamp doesn't complain about the darkness.
That's right.
It simply is the lamp. And so I think that the call right now for believers and for those who are listening to this show is you have to learn to shift your focus onto the goodness of the Father, what he is doing, your good future, the authority you've been given by the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
Step into that with supreme confidence, you know, and start to live that out. One of the first things you said when we started the show today is something about this is just the truth, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, it's interesting. The truth shall set you free.
Right.
And you can't have freedom without truth.
Right.
And you can't have truth and it not lead to freedom. And so we're in a moment, and also, too, yeah. the Bible says that the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Right.
And so everyone who's declaring freedom, 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 it's found in two places. Mm-hmm. It's found in the Spirit of God mm-hmm. and truth.
Yeah.
And so we have to be a people who are after those things.
Well, we worship in spirit and truth, and we're in that day. That's why we don't need a building anymore. You know, we don't need that. It doesn't mean we can't do that. It just means that isn't your God.
Mm-hmm.
And what is important is who you are. We're in a moment now in history where your faith is your currency.
Mm.
Doesn't matter how much money you have or whatever you can stack up. Doesn't matter how smart you are. You know, I'm a pretty intelligent dude, and I did pretty well for myself starting with from nothing. And I wouldn't trade one bit of what God's given me in the last decade for what I had earned and worked for my entire life. And so if faith is the currency, you want this. Mm. And God will give you everything else when you have that. In other words, when you become completely His, when you give your whole heart, whole thing to Him, then He will withhold nothing from you. You become trustworthy to Him. So that takes your focus. You have to focus on your Father. That's what Jesus was teaching us. Mm. It's not just about being, you know, well-behaved. It's never been about that. David would have been tossed aside. Peter, tossed aside. It's been about having a heart after God, a heart that is hungry for Him.
Mm.
And He'll give it to you. He'll give you everything.
So we come into the midst of a generation. I love... Where's that passage that talks about the crooked and depraved generation? You know,
there's
I'm pretty sure that was Jesus. You know, he called the generation crooked. Yeah. And so today, if we call a generation crooked, everybody gets all upset and flustered. Remember that was our Lord and Savior, mm-hmm. Christ Jesus, who called the generation crooked. I think what you said, Kevin, is so important to reiterate, is you said faith is your currency.
It is.
For years, the American people, especially, have been identifying themselves by how much material wealth they have.
Sure.
You know, I mean, my lifetime, for example, the 80s, it was, this is, you know, the stock market era and all the big Wall Street kind of stuff. It just carried on into this gross materialism, where materialism was how Americans defined themselves. And then you look at the church, and so many people in the institutional church, traditionally, quote unquote, faith leaders, it was about their intellect.
Mm-hmm.
It was about their theology. Mm-hmm. You know, how many degrees do you have? How many books have you written?
Right.
How big is your church? They're measuring themselves in the kingdom with the wrong currency. And so a man who has a closet full of faith, a house full of faith, is the wealthiest man in the world. And that's being brought forth in this season.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I mean, look, it's... When you change your focus, when you begin, and this is what we teach people to do, you don't need any of that. What you only thing you need is that deep relationship with your Father, and you need to dream with Him. People are afraid to dream, or they don't know how because they've never been taught. People don't even know how to study the Word. They try to do it in a, you know, some kind of theological way. That's not bad. It's just not the best.
Mm.
So, you know, I gave Learning to Feel the Word to someone the other day, and I said, please read this. And she read it, and she texted me back and said, oh, my gosh, this is great. Can I get some more copies?
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's revolutionary. It's just like what we're seeing out there. It's not civil war. It's revolution.
Mm.
It is revolution. And
that's good word.
And God has given us a few people that have courage to lead. So whether you like their personality or not is irrelevant. Mm. What matters is the truth and being free. So it connects. All the dots are connected. So, but anyway, one of the things that I want people to understand is in this, you've got to stop begging God.
Yeah.
You have to start believing. You have to start proclaiming the things that you know.
Mm.
Stand on it. Come from heaven. Otherwise, you'll always be from earth and just in a position that He's already paid for you to be free from.
Yeah.
So one of the big ways to do that is think about it this way. we owe God our expectation, not an explanation. We owe God expectation. We owe him our expectation of his goodness, not an explanation of our lack of it or failure. Just let that sink in. You don't have to explain it to him, but you do have to give him your expectation. So when you see the last month or so and you feel demoralized by filth, greed, bald-faced lies, accusations, complete crap, when you see that, you don't have to let that in. You have to focus on God and know his promises. It's not about knowing Scripture as much as it is knowing God, the one who wrote those things.
Yeah,
you have to stand on that. Remember we talked about a few weeks ago the definitive statements. God will, he will, he will. He's always, always, always. And you can go back and listen to that. I mean, he's not the great I can. He's the great I am. So this is that spirit of Joshua and Caleb. I see the promised land out there. This is our place. And God's given us a good leader. And he's put amazing Christian people around him. And we're going to fight for him. We're going to stand up. And I'm not saying that because I give a crap about parties. I just care about the truth. And so we care about the truth. So we're going to see a lot of crazy stuff in the next little bit. We need to hold firm, be firm. But we also need to know that God is just and Haman will be brought to justice. And it's pretty clear who that is at this point. You know, that Italian thing isn't new. That's been around for several weeks. But what is new is the gathering of the evidence. Now it's tangible. So God kept saying to me, Haman, 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 less focus on Esther, but it just hit me at like midnight last night. That's him. That's it. That's our Haman. So you can figure it out for yourself, but if you look at the news, the right news.
True.
But anyway, all this stuff is crazy, right? It's we're not used to it. We're so lulled into being boiled.
The frog in the pot.
Did you see the meme? I mentioned it to Joe earlier. Holly showed me a meme with it had Kermit sitting in a pot with a mask on. And he said, "It's just a mask."
Oh man!
It's like, yeah, we've been telling you this. It's just a mask, but now, oh, guess what? It doesn't matter. You got to keep wearing it. Lockdown. Now there's a variant. Now they're going to detain people. You see, it's all escalating.
Well, to that point, I love it because, you know, the lockdown issue, so we've been on greater lockdown since prior to Christmas, right? Cases, quote-unquote cases rise.
Right.
You know, people with masks, mask wearers getting it. You know, now, oh, after the vaccine, oh, you still have to wear a mask. Like, the narrative, like, people wake up.
Yeah.
Like, literally open your eyes and heart and see that they are moving the finish line every time you feel like you get to it.
Yes.
And at some point in time, it all falls flat.
That's right.
It's the barking dog, like we talk about behind the fence.
Right.
So I have, Joe, how much time do we have? I want to make sure that I'm on this. We've got about 5 minutes. Okay. I'm getting fired up. I'm going to start dancing around the room. I told somebody today, I didn't even want to speak in my human language today. I want to speak in my spirit language because I don't want anybody but God to hear what I have to say. So I have two questions.
Okay? All right.
Two questions. And I'm playing audience advocate for our listeners here. So number one, you said we owe God our expectation, not our explanation.
That's right.
So I know what you're saying, and I understand we want to raise our expectations of God. Here's a question I have. How do you begin to navigate with the Father when you have an expectation that is not met, right, the way that you would have envisioned it or the way you've desired it to be? And I'm specifically talking about someone who prays for a loved one that dies, or someone who prays for a promise of a spouse or a relationship or a business scenario. So how do you respond when it feels like in your human self that the expectation is yet met?
Well, the big answer is you need discipleship. If you're not being discipled, then you can't understand it. It's like the people on the other side of this thing who just keep saying, "Oh, there's no fraud." It's insanity. You can't see it, or you don't want to see it. You have to be discipled. What does that mean? It means you start to go through things and you understand how man was made. You understand the difference between soul, spirit, and your body. You understand the flow of it. You understand how to be led by the Spirit from the inside out and walk by faith from the outside in. And I can go on for hours to answer that question.
What you do.
But what I'll say in the short is, if you believe there is a God, you have to believe he's smarter than you and that he's more powerful than you and that he cannot be sidetracked by anything. And if you believe that, then you have to understand that he made you, you're his idea, and he loves you. So what that means is your job isn't the how. So you got to let go of how, and you got to let go of how long. You got to stop being afraid of death, poverty, and what people think. There's a nutshell. Practice those things. Now, again, this is why people are not disciples, because they go to church for an hour, raise their hands, go home, eat chicken, and watch football, and that crap is over.
It won't sustain.
It's done. It's been coming a long time. So walk with us. Walk with me. Give me a chance. I'll help you. I'll do anything I can to help you with this. But to how and how long, that's God's job. Now, how do we know that? Look in Scripture. Gideon, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, you name it. Rahab, Peter, anybody, name them all. That's what they did. They gave up logic. They gave up how and how long. What they were after is why. So when you have a why, there's passion and compassion attached.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it is. The what and the who, man, that's your why. You go after that, and God will do the how, why, so he gets credit. So when you're praying for somebody, your job, your responsibility is to be faithful. It's not to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like saying, I'm going to fast to make something happen. It's ridiculous. You get fast. You fast to get close to God. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do it to try to move him. I'm sick of hearing that from people.
Yeah, there's no reward, and yeah. And that's religious.
It is.
Yeah, that's religious spirit.
It's we must yield to God, but we must go forward with his spirit working through us as his hands and feet. It means something. It's not just bow down and beg. That's not who our God is. That's not being like Jesus.
Amen.
It's like trying to crucify Jesus every week, every day,
mm-hmm.
over and over. Repent, repent, repent. You know, I've been in a church where someone said, we're all dirty sinners, and my wife and I walked out.
Yeah.
I ran out the back and ran into a briar patch. This was right here in Wilmington.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was about 4 or 5 years ago. We're like, this is definitely not our place. But anyway, the how and the how long, that's where we got to let go. You be faithful no matter what. Put all your hope in God, and what he does, he does. But you're never going to get even halfway if you don't do that. Well, so we have a whole section in the cleanse about this.
Yeah, yeah. And again, this
is a great teaching.
This is what we do. I mean, this is the purpose of our organization, to eradicate spiritual poverty, to get people to the freedom spot where they're delivered from the strongholds, where they understand their heavenly identity, where they're dreaming with God, stepping into it. That's what we do.
Right.
And so here's the thing, because we're going to go to break here in a second.
All right.
I just want people to hear this. Those that are listening to the show today, is we are seeing a growing hunger among people who are ready to finally step in to this reality of spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
And it isn't reading some yoga book, and it isn't going to some yoga studio, and it's getting intimate with the Father God who made you through the sacrifice of the Son, being filled with the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. getting in his word, and being discipled to that purpose. So right now, it's this whole new year thing. Mm-hmm. For those who are hungry to step into this, it is time.
Right.
That urge that you've been feeling. I met with somebody yesterday, guys, man, I've had this nudge. And as you've said, don't let the nudge turn into a shove.
Right.
Right now, get hungry enough to get in discipleship and get free from the stuff that's holding you back.
Right. Here's the deal. If you are faithful and you're all in, your heart is ready to go, and you let go of how and how long, and just go with everything, like a child, like a bride, like a friend of God's, your future is incredibly good.
Mm.
If you don't, you will be marginalized.
Hold on.
Yeah, it's not going to look too good for you.
It ain't pretty.
This is it. It doesn't matter if you got millions of dollars or, you know, all kinds of 200 IQ. It's worthless.
There's one option.
That's it. The living God.
The way.
That's right. And we're not a small part of this. God made us. We're His idea.
For such a time as this.
Exactly right. So stand up and act like it. That honors God. That's putting your expectation on Him. We can talk more about it after.
Yeah, we'll do. Guys, for those who want to learn how to get connected, go to our website, youprint.life, youprint.life. We've got the Portable Faith Community. Get plugged into daily encouragement. We've got one-to-one mentoring. We're launching communities this year, new content. Tons of resources. We're here for you guys. Would love for you guys to get connected. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Wake Up Our Faith. Back for more right after this. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to our live broadcast streaming on all of our platforms. For those who are listening on the replay every weekend on the Big Talker, many thanks to Joe Catanacci in studio today, 106.7 FM, Wilmington's Big Talker. You guys make sure to tune in the mornings to listen to him if you're not already doing that. Thank you, Joe, so much, man. Looking forward to a big new year for you and the Big Talker. We love our partnership with you guys. Thank you guys for offering us the opportunity to be on the air. Our corporate partners also make this show possible. These folks are awesome. Many of them, most of them actually, are all here in the local Wilmington community. These are folks who are the lifeblood of this community. Most of them family-run businesses. They're serving our community well. We encourage you guys to go and support them and thank them for their support for us. One of them being the Rising Tide Real Estate Team, a full-service real estate brokerage company representing both buyers and sellers through Intercoastal Realty. 910-620-7177. Also, Melissa Thomas, known as Melissa the Coach. You can connect with her online, melissathecoach.com. She offers kind of minimalization both in your life and in your finances so you can get free from the burdens that allow you to pursue your dream. And I'll tell you this right now, most people do not have a healthy understanding of money, and so they're a slave to it. Therefore, they live underneath its burden, and they can't step into who they are because it's an excuse for them. Melissa will not let you live that way anymore. Connect with her, melissathecoach.com. Dr. Greg Veeman and his team at Seacoast Skin Surgery want to also recognize Dr. V's ministry, Everlasting Strength, on the web, everlastingstrength.org. Dr. V's got a great heart. He gives out Bibles at his facility, also two copies of his book, The God Diagnosis. Dr. V and his team are wonderful, everlastingstrength.org. Chris Hutchins and his team at Guaranteed Rate Mortgage, one of the most successful mortgage lenders in the state of North Carolina, right here in Wilmington, have had an incredible year this year, serving clients on home purchases and refinances. Make sure to reach out to Chris and his team, 910-344-0304. Also, Century 21 Swawyer & Associates, the Carolinas' largest, most successful Century 21 agency. Jeff and his team there, 30 years plus in the business, family-owned and operated, 910-256-0021. Our good brother and friend Chris Riley and the team at CapTrust Financial, long-term financial planning. Had a chance to sit down with Chris over a meal over the holiday. Be sure to reach out to Chris for any long-term financial needs, 910-256-8882. Also, PT Services of Wilmington. That's ptservicesofwilmington.com on the web. Physical therapy services, the Wilmington's number one physical therapy team, the Zimmerman family, owned and operated since 1983, 910-763-8286. Also, Beach Blooms Florist, Aaron and Julie Taylor down in Carolina Beach, 910-707-0633. And last but certainly not least, Freeman Landscaping, largest privately owned landscaping irrigation firm in eastern North Carolina, family owned and operated since 1992. Make sure to reach out to the Freeman Landscaping Team, 910-796-1166. Again, thank you to all of our corporate partners. We'll be back with the second half of Wake Up Our Faith right after this. Hello, welcome back to Wake Up Our Faith. Matt Hamm, Kevin Adams in studio today. Thank you guys for tuning in, whether you're watching us streaming, you're listening to the podcast, or catching us live on the radio here in southeastern North Carolina on 106.7 FM. Glad you're spending some time with us. Guys, I'm fired up today, especially. It's a big day today, and we've got a really big year ahead of us. I'm feeling so pregnant with the purpose of God. Like, it's just been so overwhelming that the future is so good. And it's like He allowed us to go through this trial and testing season. And I believe that we're in a mode where it's going to continue, because the only way to get free from it is to be free from it. Oh, hey, Joe, we need a mic. Good to go? Check, check.
Yeah, that's right. It's think about it this way. the enemy's idea is if you operate, here's what we were talking about earlier, right? Your smarts or your resources or all that. So the enemy has whipped that thing, right? The enemy, you can call it China, you can call it deep state, you can call it Satan, you can call it whatever you want. It ain't from God. So that enemy has kicked our butts. And now I don't mean God's people. I mean people who have relied upon everything but God. Fear of everything but the Lord is the world's wisdom. And let that sink in. God says fear only one thing, that's Him, and that's respect. Mm. So the enemy has gotten the best of us. Mm. But God has given us this opportunity to say, I'm going to show you what's going on, and it's going to blow your mind. Mm. And we see this kind of stuff in the Bible, just because you haven't seen it in your going to the dang golf course and the restaurant. And you know, it just blows my mind. People that haven't been through stuff, you're in trouble.
Mm.
You're in trouble unless you just go. And we're not saying it to be mean. We're just saying, you know, I think back. We're talking about work ethic and all that. I'm like, I've had 30 jobs. I worked in a meat department. I changed tires. I did all this stuff. I worked from midnight. I used to move stuff. I did all these different jobs. And I talk to people in their 30s sometimes, and it's like, oh, yeah, I just had one or two. I'm like, what? You don't even know what work ethic is. Now, I don't mean to get off on a pedestal here, but I'm saying it's okay. People, whoever knows me knows that I mean well by this, but I'm saying it is time. You've got to do the hard thing right now.
Mm.
But if you do, God is with you. So what God has done, if you've been beat up, you've been in a war, you've been through tragedy or difficult circumstances, this stuff isn't that shocking.
Mm-hmm.
But it is incredibly shocking. It's so big and so hard. There's going to be people in prison who were in the White House. I mean, this thing's changing. And that's not some prophecy. I'm just saying, you can see it. It's happening. So what I'm saying is the dog, we were running from it. Now we're chasing it. The enemy's on the run. Why? Because God in His mercy is showing it to us. So don't be a wet noodle. Get up. This is real. I've stayed away from it for years because the time is now. That's the Esther part of it,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, if you run from a dog, it'll chase you typically. If you run at a dog, it'll run. I don't care what kind of dog it is. You know, you go after it. That's where we are.
Face it.
So you don't need to stop and pray. You need to chase that thing. Get rid of it. That's where we are. If you don't have that in you, maybe pray to get it.
Amen. That's a good point. I love talking about chasing the dog. It's interesting, too, when the Lord in His sovereignty and smartness defines, you know, His weaponry, the word of God is the sword.
That's right.
You know, so you have to have the word of God embedded in your heart.
Yeah.
You have to have felt it, and you have to be able to use it and wield it well, not as some hopeful, you know, thing.
Yeah. We have to emulate these heroes of faith.
Mm.
We got to quit quoting them and start emulating them. But if you haven't been tested or trained, then you're spinning right now. Mm. You're going, what is happening?
Yeah.
And you just keep seeing more and more corruption. It's crazy. I mean, I'm not saying it's not shocking to me. It is, but it doesn't freak me out,
mm-hmm.
because it is a spiritual battle. But having been through an incredible spiritual battle for years and years, it now's the time. But what God's done is He's opened it up. Hmm. He's accelerated it. He's forced it to happen. These people were going to try to boil the dang frog, and they were doing it. And corruption on every level. It all comes down to greed, power, all these things. This is the enemy's seductive process. So God says you can't serve Him and mammon. So what is mammon? It's money, right? So that's it. That's what this comes down to. You can call it this or this. It doesn't matter. What it is a battle between freedom or truth and good and evil. So all that said, you have to decide. You can't just say, well, I don't want to talk about politics. It's not.
Well, the same by talking about it, everybody wants to say you're talking about politics, right? People want to automatically push you in
this
camp. And you're like, I'm talking about the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You make it about politics. That's your problem.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the kingdom of God.
That's right. Yeah.
Get over yourself
and
your labels and your high-mindedness.
Right.
I mean, I don't have time for that.
That's right.
It's go, get away from me.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's Nehemiah, right, on the wall?
Yeah, that's right. But we see throughout Scripture, and I put out a thing a while back. It was talking about pride. It was immediately after these people started acting like they were in charge. Like, wait a minute. No, this is just oozing pride. And it's squealing right now. And there's going to be a lot of stuff. There's going to be people probably that don't make it through this. It's a big deal. But our God is good, and this is His place, and we're going to hold on for Him, through Him, by Him, for Him, and for His people, because this is our place, and we stand on that. So we keep our arms open to those who are completely befuddled by all this and say, okay, you see it now, don't you? It ain't tinfoil hat. It's not that stuff. You know, I'd rather wear a damn tinfoil hat than a freaking mask anyway. It'll look a little cooler, right? At least you could see my
face.
We
should start a movement of tinfoil hats.
Yeah, never laid a finger on one, but I see them all over the street. They're all in the ocean. You know, you've got billions of dollars poured into these things. It's just like Holly said a few weeks ago, follow the money. There's a lot of good people out there fighting and standing up, and they're on all different levels. But, you know, even this archbishop, gosh, what an amazing man of God. I can't remember his name now.
I know you're talking about. He's written some stuff I've read.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, but God's speaking loud and clear. He's saying, come on, I got it. Stand up with me. That's what this is about. But He's revealed something that would have taken several more years, and we would have just eased off into it, except for the weirdos like me or you or us or whoever who just look stupid. And,
well, it's foolishness to the world, right?
That's right.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to be a practicing Christian, you are going to have to look stupid to the world around you.
That's right.
Period. End of story. There's no fitting in.
Right.
There's no blending in.
Right.
You are the weirdo, right? Yeah. Who, and now there's ways to do that, and there's ways not to do it. But the point is don't act like, oh, man, you know, I'm going to have a bunch of friends and everybody's going to love me because I'm standing up for the Lord.
Right.
All of that stuff, that's the whole die to self thing.
Yeah.
All that stuff falls by the wayside.
Yeah, it's, you know, just go love people and all that. Man, that's sentimental, goofy stuff. It love is serious business. Mm. Jesus is love, but it's not sentimental, hokey, campfire, kumbaya crap. This is the Lion of Judah. This is the whip and the bull whip and turning tables over and standing up for His Father. That's what He wants us to do right now. And, you know, I can't do anything else. I can't get sentimental. I just have to call it for what it is. But I feel it in my spirit. This is not a news junkie. I'm not a news junkie. You know, I've been seeing things lately because God keeps telling me, pay attention to this. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's three people listening, but if you know me at all, know, I'm saying this from my heart of hearts for you. It's not about politics. It's about God and His people.
Yeah.
But all that said, you asked that question earlier. We have got to put our expectation into God, not our explanation. We don't owe Him that. He knows. He's already got it. It's like the prodigal come home. Prodigal come home is the condition you're in. You got to quit turning around. After Jesus said, Satan, get behind me, you got to quit turning around and looking at Him.
Yeah.
You don't need to engage Him. You need to go forward. Now, when he tries to come in your house, you chase him back out. But this is about staying focused on God and what he says. And if you don't know how to do that because you don't know the word.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. And that's what we're, that's exactly why we're here. That's what the Life Center is about. It's all perfectly timed. I mean, we're going to start to really grow. We doubled from the previous year, you know, in a bad economy and all that stuff, because it's not really bad. But a lot of good things are coming, you know, they are. But we're poised, we're in the right position, but we're here to help you. So remember that. But God wants us to be, how we honor him is we don't care what people think about us. We become fools, right? He says wisdom. My book's written around this principle, this scripture in Corinthians. If you want to be wise by the standards of this age, you must become a fool. And so my book's called The Extravagant Fool. I'm going to do it all in, right? But all of us have to do that now.
Yeah.
And we're equals, you know. So that said, how do you do that? You have to give him your expectation, just like your child expects you to feed him. They don't worry about where their meal's coming from. They just say, hey, I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Papa feeds them. Mama feeds them. That's the spirit, the curious, the desires, the heart, the go, go, go. And listen, here's the other thing. You got to start dreaming. The devil does not want you to dream.
Yeah, this is big.
If you refuse to dream with God, then you are refusing to believe God.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't give him your dreams, if you don't press into that and ask him and seek and knock and tell him, I'm ready, then you don't believe him. God made us to dream. He gave us what we're doing is uncovering his will. It's not making stuff happen. It's not magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's you are going after something and he lets you do it. Well, he's just given us a huge, huge head start here by showing us the dirt and the bugs and the grime and saying, see, this is what's going on. I'm going to free you from it. Are you in or out? I want to know that.
Mm.
And if you're in, then guess what? Start dreaming.
Let's go.
Because what you are meant to do is going to be put right in front of you. I promise you that. But I've had to live that out first or people won't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
So a question here, and we probably have like 10 minutes or so, okay. I guess, but I think this would be a good close to today's broadcast. You said something earlier in the broadcast that this is not civil war. This is revolution and revolutionary war. We are in the midst of a revolution. Now, Jesus came, mm-hmm. and with him was a revolution.
Yes.
He revolutionized God's way. And ushered in a new covenant.
Okay, right.
That covenant carried out guys like Martin Luther, mm-hmm. when he came in 1500 and whatever it was, 1519. That was revolutionary to upend a system that had grown stale and off the path.
Right.
And so through history, there have been these revolutionary cycles, 1776, America mm-hmm. being founded, et cetera.
Right.
And so we are in a revolutionary season where God is doing a new old thing mm-hmm. on the earth. It's coming back around.
Yeah.
And so here's my question. Mm-hmm. I'm setting all that up.
All right.
In the Revolutionary War, they fought by taking up arms and literally fighting the British. In Martin Luther's day, he fought the war by nailing the thesis to the wall, writing the gospel in German, I believe, and then having it printed, etc. So in today's revolutionary war,
mm-hmm.
how do we fight well?
Well, remember, God says, the first shall be last. He exalts the humble. His strength is perfected in our weakness. Start to really unpack those things in your heart. God is for the underdog. God always works in things that look impossible. So when you look at a civil war back, you know, yes, there was right and wrong, but you're talking about people who had, they fought their own brethren over things, and it needed to happen, right? And it was a terrible war. Revolution is different because it is there is something new happening. Like, it's not just a, so what we've got is we've got everything that God is doing has a counterfeit to it. We've talked about the gifts being counterfeited. It's like a coin. You flip it over. So God flips everything over, and it's an upside down kingdom, right? There's an upside to it. You got to stand on your head to see right side up, et cetera. So this is the great awakening for Christians. This is the moment we've been waiting for so long. And we can put that term on it or not. It doesn't matter what we call it. This is what's happening. And we've been prepared for it. And you can see leaders rising up around the world who they put God first. And we've named a few of them on the show here and there. So this is, yeah, this is not division among equals and infighting, family fighting over issues right and wrong even. This is about truth. This is about true good and evil. It is about letting evil win versus changing the model. And God is changing everything right now. So it's bigger. So how do we fight it? Well, we have to understand it. We've got to do three things, right? We have to be discipled, and we have to go make disciples. But the three things are being the Word. You have to be thankful to God. You have to spend time doing these things. I don't play it any service by saying it real quick, like, because it's way more important than that. And you have to learn how to dream. And the people that we're working with, they are learning how to do this. And sometimes it's faster than others, but they're getting it. And it's amazing to me. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I could see the difference in a year in their heart. And man, I'm just like, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go because any minute. But I'm ready to stay because there's a lot more to do. But how do we fight it? We fight it by knowing. We do it the same way David did. David didn't. Think about this, another one. David standing up to Goliath. What did he do? We've got to look back and see what God has done to see what he's going to do. We look at what he has done, and we prophesy our future.
Yes.
And we proclaim it. We don't have to beg him. You know, David didn't beg God, will you please help me?
He said, my God will.
He said, that's right. That's where we are right now. We are those people. That's God's heart. God says, do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? And David said, I know. It wasn't just courage. David was unshakable. He went. Why? Because he wasn't afraid to die. He wasn't afraid of being poor. And he wouldn't give a crap about what people think. He just went. God made him a leader. In fact, David's name is on the throne forever and ever alongside, you know, our Lord.
Yeah, God.
So, you know, you got to choose. You got to choose. And now is one of those moments in history. We're born. We're here right now. You think that wasn't intentional by God? His intention is our permission. Now get on with it.
Yeah.
Get off your knees. Get up, stand up, and go be a lion and do lion stuff. Instead of buying into all this, oh, we got to heal. And it ain't heal. This is war. Stand up and know that God has won it, and it's won. And then you go forward. You're a vessel. It's that time.
It is.
Like it or not.
Well, it's so, so good. And just this morning, I was having a conversation with a good buddy of mine, and I said, man, everything in me, the picture that the Lord keeps giving me is secretariat in the stall waiting on the bell. And man, I'm telling you, when he came out of the gate, if you've ever watched Secretariat run, oh, it's unlike anything you've ever seen. Boy, that horse could run.
Sure.
God made him to go.
Yeah.
And so I see God's people lined up in the stall, and I hear the bell ring, and man, the gate's coming open, and buddy, we get to run.
That's right.
And it's just, it's awesome. I'm so fired up. Y'all might want to avoid me for a little bit because I'm coming with some heat. So, man, Kevin, thank you so much just for just taking charge to stand and for stepping into your role as a leader. I just know the journey that you and I have been on, man, over these past, 5 years, you know, really just getting to know you and just being patient with me as I've grown and as you've grown and as the Lord's done his thing.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. And I'm just really jazzed up about where we are to be able to help those who are truly hungry and willing to step in.
Well, let's say this. There's very tender hearts here. This is, Jesus wasn't a wimp, but Jesus was very tender-hearted. Our arms are open. We love people. I would do anything for someone that is ready and has a hungry heart. And I think that's, just know that this is coming from a good place. It's not a rebuke. It's more of it's saying you're in a race. You know, the last mile and the first mile might be the same length, but the last mile is a lot harder in a marathon. So we're in that last mile. Don't give up. And this is trying to cheer you on by kicking you in the butt a little bit, but also giving you a cup of water and running with you. Mm. And those who will do that, your future, you're going to have a leadership role unlike you've ever known. So start dreaming, get excited. But remember, this is what we do. We're doing it in all areas, in business, but we're doing it starting at the core level of your heart and your spirit to get you free. And, you know, it's we're going to grow like crazy. But anyway, just know that it's coming from a good place. It's not just hard ass coach.
Yeah.
You know, we mean very, very deeply.
Yeah.
For you.
It's good stuff, man. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. What a way to kick off 2021 on the show. You guys, we look forward to hearing from you. 910-805-8330. If you want to call in anything, info@uprint.life for an email. You can connect with us on the web, uprint.life. We're going to be back next Wednesday. Make sure you guys are tuning in on Wilmington's Big Talker 106.7 FM. Y'all have a wonderful week.